Let's just pray before we explore this passage or these passages. Father God, speak to our hearts afresh through these passages. Today we pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So it's late afternoon, and people from across Jerusalem are gathering at the temple to pray, as is their custom, as is their tradition. As they enter their gates, they hardly notice the crippled, middle-aged man begging in the dust and dirt by the gate called Beautiful. He's always been there. It's his pitch. He calls to them, asking for money, but not bothering to catch their eye. He knows his place. There's a stark contrast for those that care to look between the man with frail and twisted limbs, covered in the dust and dirt of the day, and the magnificence of the temple gate. This broken man is resigned to his life. Now 40 years old, he sees no other future than to beg for money, the money he needs to survive. What else is there? He's conscious of people passing by, and without raising his eyes, senses any movement as a prompt to call out for money. But no coins are forthcoming this time. Instead, a voice, a firm voice. Look at us. The directness of the tone grabs his full attention. Two men looking straight back at him, eyes filled with kindness, compassion, and love. Perhaps there will be a coin after all. Silver or gold, I do not have. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. The man takes his hand, and he is raised out of the dust and the dirt of the street. He feels the strength return, flooding into his feet and ankles. He begins to walk, and not only walk, but to jump. Utterly amazed, overwhelming joy bubbles up inside him, and with a heart full of thankfulness and praise, he follows the men from the street outside, through the gate called Beautiful, and into the temple courts, a man utterly transformed. He is walking, jumping, and praising God. He cannot help himself. He cannot contain the joy of the gift that he's been given. This is a new life, a life gifted to him in the name of Jesus Christ. As he passes people in the temple, he's recognized. People take a moment to realize what's happened. This man was crippled. And now he's healed, not only that, but healed in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Word spreads and many more people rush to Solomon's colonnade, filled with wonder and amazement as they see the man holding on to Peter and John, praising the Lord for all that he has done. They'd come to pray to the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. They did not expect to see a miracle. Nor were they prepared for what Jesus had to say to them next. That their God has glorified his servant Jesus. This same Jesus that they had handed over to be killed. They had disowned before Pilate, preferring to release a murderer. To be told they had killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. And here stood witnesses, eyewitnesses, Jesus' disciples, bold and courageous, healing in Jesus' name. It's hard to imagine what it must have felt like to hear this, to be confronted with this truth. People who minutes before were going about their daily business, coming into the temple to pray to their God, were now broken and humbled by the truth of who Jesus was, the Son of God, their Messiah. Peter's uncompromising mirror reflecting their failure to recognize the one sent by God to be their salvation. How could they face the God of their fathers now? But Peter is also able to speak to them of hope and restoration, of a new life. Peter, who probably knew more than most about the grace of God through Jesus in forgiving and restoring those who had denied him. He speaks to the people in the temple of how through faith they too can be healed and restored. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man you see and know has been made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. He urges them to listen, to hear again the promises God made to his people through Abraham, Moses, and Samuel, to recognize Jesus as the one God raised up to bring salvation, not only to restore them, but to make them heirs. In verse 25, later in the passage, he says, "You are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, 'Through your offspring, all people on earth will be blessed.' Then God raised up his servant. He sent him first to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways." They can have a fresh start. They too can have a new life in Jesus as heirs and children of God. Now, Peter's words spoke powerfully to the people in the temple courts that day. And later on in chapter 4, it describes how many who heard the message believed, and the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. It also landed Peter and John in jail overnight for upsetting the religious leaders on their home turf. As we heard in our reading, our later reading, John was later to write, "See what a great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." In his Gospel, John wrote, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name." Now this seems incredible, bearing in mind how much we fall short in honouring God every day. Such knowledge that we are his beloved children, as the psalmist puts it, is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. But John affirms it, and that is what we are. We are changed forever when we come into a relationship with Jesus. We become sons and daughters of the living God. Now, we've had the privilege of being involved in and supporting the mission in Warrington this weekend. And I just kind of want to share with you a few of the things that happened, just to encourage us, really. So on Thursday night, we heard about how the team had seen God move powerfully at their mission in Lebanon, and their mission of ministry, of sharing the love of God, and their personal testimonies of how Jesus had transformed their own lives, saw people healed and come to know Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. On Friday, the team, joined by Christians from right across Warrington, from many different churches, stepped out in faith to share the same love and hope with the people of our town. Now, when the teams met in here to pray first, and they had been praying just to be guided by the Holy Spirit about where to go, and there were various words that people felt that they needed to look out for. One of the teams, as they stepped out of the door, was met by a young woman who asked if they were part of the mission. So this was out by the Skittles. And she was French. And it turned out that she and her friends were involved in Christian ministry in Walsall, near Birmingham. And they'd had a day off. And they thought that they might head south. But very sensibly, they decided to head north. And they really felt they needed to come to Warrington. So they looked up the town on the internet and saw that there was a mission here. And they felt called that they needed to come and be part of the mission. And she said to the team, "I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here." So they said, "Come with us." Yeah, so she walked with the team. And at one point, they came across a group of young men. And one of them was wearing a pink hoodie underneath his black jacket. Now, earlier on that morning, one of the sort of words that someone had this idea, this picture, that they needed to look out for someone in a pink top. So having seen this pink hoodie, they thought, well, we'll go over and chat to them and just see what happens. So they went up to this group of men, and the men were quite happy to chat, but it was really difficult because they were French. So a member of the team called the young woman over saying, "I think I know why you're here." And she was able to translate and pray with the team and the young men in their own tongue, in their own language, which was amazing. God's provision is just incredible. Now, the evening event at Oasis, one of the team felt, before it started, "I need to pop out and go and get a drink." So he was directed to the local shop. And in the shop was a man from Sri Lanka who was trying to buy alcohol. He had very limited English and he was finding it very difficult. So the team member got chatting to this man, and as they were talking, he said, "Well, look, why don't you come with me? We've got this event, this Christian event going on. It's just round the corner." So the man went with them. By the end of the night, this man had experienced the love of God and fellowship of the Holy Spirit to such an extent that he gave his life to Christ. He was prayed for, and he ended up on the stage dancing, declaring he was saved, seeing himself very much as part of God's family, calling the team and others around him his brothers and his sisters. A small team also went out into Warrington through the night, kind of not with street pastors, but in parallel with street pastors. During that time, they prayed with drug dealers that they would find a way to turn their life around and leave behind the things that were binding them. And they spoke to many men and women of all ages, young and old, about the love of God, sharing that they were all loved and precious to him. Now, whilst inevitably there were those who were dismissive and didn't want to chat, the team were really encouraged about the level of openness, and we cannot underestimate the desperate need for the love of God in our town, and that people actually are willing and indeed want to hear that message of hope and love. We're all made in the image of God, we know this, and there's a God-shaped hole in all of us that only he can fill. There is something in the human heart that recognizes this need, even if we're conscious of it or not. But when we hear that message and our hearts are open to it, our lives can never be the same. We have a new life and a new hope in Jesus, just like the people standing in the temple courts, listening to people, Peter, and hearing and receiving the message of the saving love of Jesus Christ all that time ago. It's the same story, isn't it? It's the same story. Now, these are only a few of the stories from the mission, and we can be sure that God has begun to work in the hearts and lives of many others because of the willingness, courage, and witness of the team of Christians who stepped out in faith this weekend, and for all those who prayed for them behind the scenes. Prayer just needs to underpin everything that we do. We also know that the Christian life is a lifelong journey. We live in a flawed and broken world, and we're all flawed and broken people. But we can be confident that God will continue to work in all of us, wherever we are on the journey, either a new Christian or one of many years standing. As it says in Philippians 1, verse 6, we can be confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. As we strive to become more like Jesus, we have the help of the Holy Spirit and the help of Christ's church on our journey. Now, after the mountaintop experiences of realizing just how much God loves us, so much that he sent his only son to die for us, and accepting Jesus into our lives, we can quite often encounter times of doubt. The devil loves to burst the bubble of joy that we have in Jesus, especially after such a powerful and positive revelation of how loved, valued and precious we are to God. We have a new life in him, and in the days after it can sometimes feel a bit flat, like when reality kicks in after the best birthday party ever. We must not be surprised by the valleys after the mountaintops. Nikki Gumbel talks about how there can often be this feeling after the Holy Spirit weekend of the Alpha course, but he always reminds people, remember that mountaintops encourage you, but valleys mature you. As Christians, we know that it's a marathon, not a sprint, and a life's work to grow and become more like Jesus every day. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure, John writes. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Now, we know that we are all flawed, broken people. We know that we fall short every day and mar the image of God in us. In short, we sin. But the good news of Jesus is that he's dealt with all of that on the cross for all time. So we can be free to enjoy and respond to the love of God. In times of doubt, this is what we need to hold on to. In times of doubt, we have a choice. We can sit in the dust and dirt of our sin, crippled by guilt and doubt that God could really love us. Or we can look up. Like we've sung before the throne of God. Upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. We can listen to his word, his promises to us. To accept that Jesus died for us, taking all our sin and shame on the cross, and that our sin is dealt with. As Jesus said from the cross, it is finished. To repent, to turn away from all the things that want to drag us back into the dirt, to lead us away or distract us from striving to be more like Jesus. We need to trust in Jesus, to allow him to take our hand, to lift us up and heal us and restore us every day. Again, in that song, that amazing song, when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there. We need to look up. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Now, I love the part in the Easter story where Jesus washes his disciples' feet. The servant king showing such love and humility and setting such an amazing example to his disciples. Now, Peter found this incredibly difficult. He came to Simon Peter, who said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I'm doing now, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and head as well." Peter was nothing if not all in. Jesus answered, "Those who have a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean." In choosing to follow Jesus and accepting him as the Lord of our life, we are purified, washed clean. We are human and we will fall short, our feet getting dusty and dirty along the way. But in turning to Jesus, we can be cleansed and restored each day. Peter said, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Now, one of my favourite Christian singer-songwriters is Lauren Daigle. And when I read the passages for today, I was reminded of her song, Power to Redeem. So I'm just going to read you a few of the lyrics. "You take what is, and you make it beautiful. When love floods in, we're restored forevermore. With breath that brings the dead to life, with words that pierce the dark with light, only by the blood are we set free. With mercy strong to carry shame and nail it to a tree, you alone hold the power to redeem. Rejoice, O child of God. Lift your eyes to see with every morning light, again, we are redeemed." As any parent will know, their children are a work in progress. Indeed, we're all children, so we're all works in progress. "With every morning light, again, we are redeemed. And again, and again, and again." Like the lame beggar, we know we have a God of second chances and a new life every day. As we finish, we're going to listen to the song. And during the song, just take some time to pray and ask God to highlight any areas of our lives that need to be wiped clean and refreshed by his Spirit today. And he longs for us to do that. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that we are. Amen.